Hey, my courageous beauties, welcome back to another episode. This is indeed the last installment in season 5. This is episode 20. Okay, so just want to give you a heads up. I might actually take a little bit of a break, but you have plenty of episodes to keep you going. And I'm not sure how long the break will be. It won't be too long, but it may be a couple weeks or so, just to regroup and, you know, get things, get myself straight and figure out what direction God wants me to go in. It may even only be a week. I don't know, but I just want to let you know, if you don't see a new episode next week or the next, don't fret. I'll be back. But yeah, so let's go ahead and get into today's topic. So today, gonna be a little heavy today, but we're gonna get through it, all right? And this is called a stumbling block but a chief cornerstone. So one of the key verses that I saw is 1 Peter 2:7-10 in the King James. It says, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And verse 10 says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So the reason why this came about is for me is that, you know, there's been a lot of things going on and in the world. And in particular, you know, I'm not a fan of injustices of God's people, right? Now, I have to speak in this manner because, you know, we all need to be honest with one another. Now, I'm going to say especially Black people because I'm a Black woman. But the situations of this current world is yet at a state of emergency across the board. However, you know, it don't matter the race, right? And the thing is, how can we truly be mad at another race of people when we cause confusion in our own house, in our own backyards, in our own camps, neighborhoods, in our own cities, in our own states, in our own country, not just the world alone, but the very body of Christ? It has seen so much confusion and division. It ought not to be so. As believers, kingdom citizens, children of the Most High God, we are supposed to be the light of the world, right? Not living in the dark with the world. Yet we stop to fix our lips to ask God why these bad things happen that's going on in the world right now, right? Oh, I don't understand. Why does bad things happen to good people? We can fix our lips to ask God those things, but we forget that Jesus already told us that they hated him and would hate us too. That's one thing. The other thing is, it doesn't matter if you're Black, white, right, wrong, or indifferent. We are all God's children, and we should learn to live in love and in harmony. Instead of what I've seen, Christianity is one of the most construed or criticized belief systems, because I believe the bottom line is to cause division and cause folks to deny what Jesus has done for us. It makes me lean in even more to God, because he already foretold us what would come. And now that we are seeing these things unfold before our eyes, we all act surprised. He literally actually told us in Matthew 24, the destruction of the temple. He says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as for set upon the Mount of Olives, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. You know, sometimes I think that people only think what the Bible says literally applies to folks of that time. Well, I'm here to tell you that ain't so. Right? You know, the word of God is timeless. It's alive and living, and it will live forever. We got to remember that. And we have to keep in mind in this life, God never promised us that we wouldn't face hard times. Even with us being his children, he covers us through the hard times, but not necessarily eliminates them. Our character needs to be tested and proved by God so he can see if he can trust us, right? He said, if we are faithful over the little, he will make us ruler over much. But how can he, if we crumble under and over every situation, right? Every circumstance that happens or that rises up against us, right? If we continue to attack one another, that's the other part of it. I mean, how can he trust us? We should be banding together, using that energy to fight the enemy. In fact, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent is supposed to take it by force. The thing is we are in a faith fight. We are in a spiritual warfare. We don't have time to be fighting each other. But before we, as God's children, can take another by force, we need to be in the world, but not of the world. Living as kingdom citizens, and we need to heed to what God's word says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This is the problem with everything in this world, and this is the only fix. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance doesn't mean lip service. It means action, taking accountability for what we as a people have done. We question God why things have happened to us, but some of us are worshiping idols and other gods and idolize the world and wonder why our Heavenly Father, God, the only true wise God, would ever owe us an explanation. But yet and still, he is being a loving father, still allows breath to flow through our lungs and blood through our body, keeping our hearts pumping simultaneously, keeping us safe in our sleep and in our dreams. And while we're awake, with grace and mercy following us all the days of our lives, and we have the audacity to wonder why evil is among us. Lord, help us all. Jesus was given by God, sacrificed, but was well pleased with him to save us. But we still turn with a reprobate mind, like a dog to his vomit, shaking our tails on the internet for money, selling our souls for the almighty dollar. Slavery talk creeping back up on the tongues of those that didn't learn anything from keeping God's people captive the first time. When is enough enough? The wages of sin is death, and at any given moment, should God decide to remove his grace and leave us to our own devices, we question why when we have had thousands of chances to turn from the sin that tries to do us in, generation after generation, time after time, season after season, year after year, day after day, and soon the hour will come that we will all have to give account to our own stuff. It's time to repent and turn our hearts back to God. We need to get the body, the temple, back to a position where the Spirit of God will dwell here. It used to be the temple of God was so sacred and was at a building, but symbolic to our bodies. But we defame and bring disgrace to ourselves daily. As Paul said, our righteousness is like unto filthy rags. I believe that is why revival has been breaking out everywhere in places that seem unusual, you know, like on college campuses. I think I said this before. College campuses and grocery stores, movie theaters, because the Spirit of God has found a place, found people in those places that are willing to let him dwell there. He's found a place to dwell. If he ain't able to dwell in your house, where do you think he's going to go? He said, if you don't praise me, I will let the rocks cry out. I don't want no rock crying out for me. I want to praise God for myself. So this is why Jesus has been a stumbling block for anyone that doesn't believe, but a chief cornerstone that was first rejected by the builder, but was high and lifted up for us all to see as a model of how to live. The term rock of offense is found in 1 Peter 2:7-8. We read it earlier, but I'm going to read it again in the New King James Version. Therefore, to you who believe, he, Jesus, is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Don't think this word was just for Jesus. It's for us, too. Peter also illustrated Jesus as a rock of offense to unbelievers, which he drew it out of Isaiah 8:14. The Apostle Paul, he quoted this Old Testament passage to show that Israel's unbelief in the past had continued in the present time. Even quoting Romans 9:32-33 ESV, you can read that on your own. But Israel had rejected the Lord in the days of Isaiah, just as the Jewish people of the first century rejected Jesus, and just as some of us have today. Rock of offense literally means stumbling block. Anyone who rejects Jesus Christ stumbles and falls over who he is by refusing to seek or acknowledge that he is the foundation of spiritual life and relationship with God. So will you turn your hearts back to Christ, our Savior, our rock of salvation, our deliverer, our great Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, Jesus, the Son of God, the living word? Some of you think you can get to God by using witchcraft, astrology, stones, and the such. I'm here to tell you what the word of God says. John 14:1-7 in the King James says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's what Jesus is saying. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But you can't get there through stones. You can't get there through witchcraft or astrology, right? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Jesus is coming again to receive you unto himself. He is the husbandman. We are the bridegroom. He's coming to get us. And whether I go, you know, and the way ye know. Thomas, for example, it says, Thomas and saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you cannot get to God except you believe in Jesus. That's what this verse is saying in verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That means except by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. The thing is, we don't want to be like Thomas when he doubted Jesus, when he walked with him. God is yet standing at the door of our heart, just waiting for you to invite him in. Or are you going to be the ones that don't believe and be disobedient, causing Jesus to be a stumbling block for you when he really is the chief cornerstone? I know that's a lot to digest, but I really just want to share that with you because it's something that I believe God has put on my heart. And it's just something that I really feel we need to grasp. You know, walking with God is not tiptoeing through the tulips. It's not going to be easy, but it's definitely going to be a whole lot better than not having him in my life. So I encourage you to get a relationship with God. And I know the past, your past and all those things that people called you and said that you were, and maybe the negative self-talk you had for yourself, and, you know, hearing the lies of the enemy telling you're not worth anything. Well, you know what? It's all a lie, right? God knows the way that you should go. He has plans to prosper you and bless you, right? He has an expected end for you. So the matter is, our creator has an expected end. He knows the end before the beginning. So he already told us that we have the victory. But if you don't get on the alignment with his word, you won't have the victory. You won't have the victory. If you don't follow Jesus, you won't have the victory. You'll have what looks like you're winning, but the end there be all is what really matters. This life is temporary. You can't get back yesterday. You can't even get back the second, you know, that we just lost, you know. So it's really time for us to tighten up, y'all. I love you. I hope that this Wisdom Wednesday provides you with strength and courage to understand that we don't have to fight one another. We have a fight already that we can't even see. You have an adversary that would love to sift you like wheat. He wants to take away your faith that God planted in your heart. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, but you have to get up and you have to stand in God's word. You have to eat it daily, just like you eat your necessary food for nutrition. Your spirit man is malnourished. You need to get spiritual nutrition, spiritual food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need to not allow Jesus to be a stumbling block for us, because he is the chief cornerstone. He is the stone that is set a precedent for us to follow. The life that Jesus lived is the life we should be emulating. But we cannot say that we love God whom we've never seen, and say that we love our brother that we see every day, and kill one another. How are you representing Christ if you're killing your brother and your sister every day? And it's not even just physical killings. That's the worst of it all. But what's bad is that you kill people with your words. How are you representing Christ if you're spreading hatred and darkness? That is where you have stumbled. That is where I have stumbled. We must get better. We must return to our first love. We must return to Christ. Father God, we come to you. We thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you for everything. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for loving us and keeping us and cover us. Oh God, we repent for our sins and our trespasses, God, for the things that we know that we have done, the things that we've been petty about and purposely done, and the things that we don't even know. Help us to see clearly the path that you have for us, Lord God. Help us to see that way so we don't stumble over Jesus, so we don't stumble over the word, so we don't stumble over the cares of this world, allowing the issues of life filtrate out our faith in you, God. Help us, God, get back on a straight and narrow. Allow your word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Allow us to see that there is more for us than that's against us. All we have to do is trust you, and all we have to do is lean on you. We don't have to lean to our own understanding. We don't have to know it all. We don't have to have all the answers. And in fact, it's good for us to not know, because we can truly trust in you. We thank you, Father God. You said some trust in chariots and some trust in fire, but we're going to trust in the Holy Spirit. We're going to trust in the power of God. Those of us that may not be saved, all you have to do is confess your faults to the Lord, and even in your secret place. And you can ask God to come into your heart and be your God and be your guide and deliver you from your sin in this world. We plead the blood of Jesus over everyone that may have gotten saved from praying those prayers and asking God that you cover your people, your children, Father God. We are your sheep and you are the shepherd. And we dispatch the angels from the east and north, the south and the west in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. And until next time, I love you all. Bye.